God bless you. Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. We're going to be looking at verses 24 to 28. As we continue to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter through the Word of God, we find ourselves in Acts chapter 18. And Father, thank you so much for this tremendous opportunity we have to talk about your Word. And so, God, we pray, anoint our ears that we might hear your voice speak to us. Lord, speak into our hearts a timely word that we need to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 18, looking at verses 24 to 28, the title of this message is, Where is Apollos Today? Where is Apollos today? Now, in order to answer this important question, we must first know who he is. And what is it about this man that Luke, the author, will set aside time and verses to talk about this particular man? We're going to see several characteristics about him, but there's one in particular that we're going to see that will make us, and especially me, to make me say, where is Apollos today? This is an important question. He has several characteristics, some great characteristics about him that we're going to see. But there's one in particular that captures my heart and captured my mind. Now, by way of background, the last time we were together, we saw how Paul left the city of Ephesus and told the people in verse 21 that he must keep the coming feast in Jerusalem. He landed in Caesarea and went to the city of Antioch and greeted the church he came from in verse 22. After he spent some time with them, he went over to the areas of Galatia and Phrygia in order to strengthen all of the disciples. The end of verse 23 says. Now we pick it up in verse 24. Look what it says there. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now, as Luke, the author, shifts the scene back to the city of Ephesus, he pauses to introduce us to a man named Apollos. It is believed that his whole name was Apollonius, and Apollos is a contraction of his proper name. Then Luke tells us where he was from. He was born at Alexandria, which was the second most important city in the Roman Empire. It was located in Egypt near the mouth of the Nile River. We're going to see some characteristics about the city of Alexandria to understand the environment by which Apollos grew up in. Alexandria was a center for education and philosophy. The city was founded and named after Alexander the Great. It boasted of a university with a library of over 700,000 volumes. The city of Alexandria had a population of 600,000 people, which consisted of Egyptians and Romans and Greeks and Jews. At least 25% of the population was Jewish, and this community was very affluent. And so this is the environment that Apollos was raised in. Luke also tells us that Apollos was an eloquent man. The Greek word for eloquent is logios, and it only appears here in the entire New Testament. It means a man of words or man of ideas, which I believe Apollos was both. This means that he was highly cultured and trained in philosophy and rhetoric. And one of the main characteristics that Luke tells us about Apollos is that he was, and here it is, mighty in the scriptures. It is this characteristic that caused me to ask, where is Apollos today? The Greek word for mighty is dunatos, and it means divine power or capabilities. And as you can see, it is closely related to the Greek word dunamis. And it is where we get our English word dynamite or dynamic from. So his learning and eloquence, coupled with his incredible grasp he had of the Old Testament scriptures, made Apollos an incredible debater, a dynamic speaker. Did you know that no one else in the Bible is given this title of being mighty in the scriptures? Or we see something close. Ezra, in the book of Ezra, chapter 7 and verse 6, he is said to be an expert scribe in the law of Moses. And I say, oh, how the church today needs men and women like Apollos, a man dedicated to being mighty in the scriptures. Oh, I say this because I look at Christians today and how little they know about the Bible and the things of God. I just got back from speaking in South Carolina at a men's conference. I spoke there Friday. Spoke Friday night. Spoke on a panel Saturday morning. Then we headed back to come back home. One of my friends spoke after me. And he had an intern with him, a guy with him, a young man with him. He said this kid, you know, came up in their academy, you know, their church's academy. His church is up in New Jersey, a mega church up there, and they have an academy. He said this kid was the worst kid in the academy. Terrible kid. Horrible little crumb crusher. He was terrible. But God, as he grew up, God got a hold of his heart. And all of a sudden, he told us, this kid read the Bible through 5 times in 9 months. This kid was just the word of God was just flowing. He was mighty in the scriptures. You talk to him, he's just quoting the word of God and the things of God. He just knows because he spent time in the word of God. Most Christians know more about psychology and self-help authors than what the eternal word says. And my prayer, my desire is to teach you the Bible in such a way from Genesis to Revelation that your family members and co-workers and Christian friends can say about you, man, you are mighty in the scriptures. This is the background to this great man. Look at what else it says about him in verse 25. So this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. Now, Luke tells us that Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord. The Greek word for instructed is katakeo. And it means to inform, to instruct, or to teach. It is where we get our English word catechize, or for those with a Roman Catholic background, you remember catechism. This means that Apollos had personal formal training. In other words, there's nothing wrong with going to Bible college or seminary if that Bible college or seminary is committed to the essentials of the Christian faith. It's unfortunate that I have to put that little caveat on the end because the majority of the Bible college and seminaries have gone so liberal that they have strayed away from the things of God. And yes, I know that 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26 says that God didn't call many wise. Yes, it does say this, but it doesn't say that God didn't call any wise, just not many. Why? Because God doesn't want us to trust in our education or our great intellect. He wants the glory to go to him. He wants us to trust in his power, which comes from the Holy Spirit, and not in, watch this, the power of the intellect, which comes from man. However, Apollos had both. And we offer several classes throughout the year to equip you to be like Apollos, to be mighty in the scriptures. However, it takes time. It takes time that we take the buds out the ears. We turn off the electronic devices for a time and to get into the word of God. Now, I know that nowadays because of technology, with your buds and headphones and Beats and all kind of stuff that you have going on, that you can have the audio Bible. You can have the word of God going through those things. I know that. But it's nothing like time that you sit in silence and open up the word of God and let God speak to your heart. It's nothing like that. This kid that I was telling you about in New Jersey, this kid took time. I bet he wasn't bumping some bumping music in his ear. No, he was reading the word of God and read it 5 times through in 9 months. Incredible. That's unheard of in today's time, especially with someone. He's in his 20s. He's a young man. And for him to dedicate himself to such a task, you know, it's believed that C.H. Spurgeon, he talks about this, that we should be so full of the Bible that when we bleed bibbling. I want to be so full of the word of God, like one person said, that when a mosquito bites me, he go away, flying away, singing nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's how I want. I want to be mighty in the scriptures like that. And this young man was like that. Notice how Luke tells us that Apollos was, notice, fervent in spirit. The Greek word for fervent is zeo, and it means the boiling of liquids. It means that to be kept at the boiling point. Meaning that Apollos didn't allow for his spirit to sag. He didn't allow his spirit to simmer down or to get low. He didn't allow his walk with God to stop boiling. He stayed hot for the Lord, unlike some of the believers in the church of Laodicea that the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 16 mentions, that they had become lukewarm. Or I have to pause and ask you, where is your walk with the Lord? Or should I say, what temperature is your walk with the Lord right now? Is it hot? Is it cold? Or is it lukewarm? Or does it even exist at all? Is it like Apollos? He kept it at the boiling point. Or have you allowed the blessings and prosperity of life cause you to simmer down? And now you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. If you would notice that lukewarm is the compromise between hot and cold. Have you been compromising in your walk lately in some particular areas? And now you look at your life with the Lord and you are not quite on fire as you once were. Not Apollos. He was fervent in spirit. He kept his walk at the boiling point. And because he was mighty in the scriptures and had been instructed in the way of the Lord, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. However, he had one flaw. He had one flaw. Even though he taught accurately the things of the Lord, he knew only the baptism of John, which is a reference to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, being the forerunner of Jesus Christ, came on the scene preaching a baptism of repentance, according to Mark 1:4. His message was simple: repent and believe in the gospel, according to Mark 1 and verse 15. John the Baptist had focused on repentance from sin and on water baptism as an outward sign of your inward commitment. His baptism was to prepare the people's hearts for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Apollos was probably urging the people in a more eloquent fashion to do the same thing. And even though Apollos had an incomplete message, notice that it wasn't insincere or inaccurate. It was just incomplete. Notice how it didn't stop him from sharing what he did know. Oh, my point is this: don't allow your limited knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Bible to keep you from sharing what you know. This has been a hindrance for a lot of people, and why they don't talk about the Lord, because they feel, well, I don't know a lot, and what if they ask me a question I can't answer? Well, you go back and get the answer. What's wrong with that? So don't allow your limited knowledge or understanding of Jesus Christ and the Bible keep you from sharing what you do know. You remember the blind man in John chapter 9 and verse 25. He says, one thing I know, that though I was blind, but now I see. And if this is all you can tell people, then tell them this one thing. I was once blinded by my sin, and Jesus offered me forgiveness through the cross, and now I can see. I am forgiven. If this is the one thing you can tell people, you tell them this. Because here's the thing. The Bible says that they overcame in Revelation 12, right around verse 10. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. No one can deny your testimony. No one can say, that didn't happen to you. Yeah, it did. No one can deny your testimony. If that's the one thing you know, you share that one thing. I was blinded by my sin. Hey, man's greatest need is to be forgiven. And if they can hear that there's a God out there who can forgive them of their sin, can take the weight that they're carrying around of their sin and has been placed upon him on the cross, people will run to it. People are not, and let me tell you something, people are not against Christianity. You know that? They're against our demonstration of it. That's what they're against. Because we are a hot mess. That's what we are. We were talking about this on the way home from South Carolina. We were talking about this, is that, you know, we're all broken. We are broke down. We are toe up from the flow up. And then I thought about it a little bit longer. We went about another couple of miles, and I said, you know what? I said, everybody in America need to just go to the nearest Celebrate Recovery in their area and just go in there and try to get fixed. We all broken. We're broken. We come in here with our smiles and our, like, we got it all together. We broke down. It's what we are spiritually. We got so many hang-ups and hassles and hardships and mess in our lives. And if we can just show the world that there is a God who wants to forgive them, and that's all you know, is I was blinded by my sin. Now I can see. How can you see? Through Jesus Christ and the cross, he's forgiven me of all of my sins. And if we can just share that with people, people are burdened down with their sin. The mess that they've done to their kids, the mess they didn't do, the mess and the hatred and anger kids have towards parents. We all just broken up folks, and the only salvation is through the cross of Jesus Christ. This is what we need to be telling folks. But we try to come off like we got it all together. That we all right and good and righteous and holy. And then you go cuss out your spouse. You know, as soon as you get in the car here, you hear in church, you get in the car and you look over at them and say, hey, I didn't forget what took place last night. You so-and-so blankety blank blank. I'm like, what? Where did you just come from? We broke. Folks, and only Jesus can fix it. We're like Humpty Dumpty. We fell down. Like the commercial, I fell down, I can't get up. You can't. Only Jesus can pick you up. He can lift you up. We're broke, folks. We're in such need of salvation. We're in such need of the cross and the forgiveness of our sin. We don't have it together. We don't. I know you want to look like you do. You broke down too. I'm going to let you know. I'm your friend. I'm letting you know, you broke down no matter how many hallelujahs, amen, too blessed to be stressed, you can say. You broke. You broke down. And I'm your friend to tell you, you need Jesus just like the rest of us. And so this is what Apollos knew. All he knew was the baptism of John. That was all that he knew. And but let's see what happened. Look at verse 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, we know from verse 24 that Apollos left Alexandria, where he was born, and came to the city of Ephesus. Why? We're untold. And we see that his gift of speaking made room for him. Because this verse says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Proverbs 18 and verse 16 said that your gift will make room for you. You don't have to, spiritually, as far as in the church and spiritually, you don't have to try to, you know, pump up yourself, boast in who you are, where you have been, and all that sort of stuff that you got to do in the world. You got to send your resume and boast up and pump yourself up and try to make yourself look good. No, the Bible says your gift will make room for you. Here's this man, eloquent. Man, educated, and next thing you know, he left Alexandria, came to Ephesus, we don't know why, and all of a sudden now he's speaking boldly in the synagogue. I remember when I was assistant pastor in the church back in the 80s, and then I left there and started going to Calvary Chapel. And we sat in the back, because in those days, you know, if you had kids in the children's ministry, first of all, that thing about kids being in the children's ministry, that was the most glorious thing I ever heard in my life in church, that kids have their own church and adults can be and can teach. I mean, the adults can be in there and be taught and not be worried about Johnny got to pee, got to potty. I got to get up. My sister, she plucked me and I pulled her hair. I thought that was the most glorious thing. I was just saying, I'm experiencing a little taste of heaven. And I couldn't believe what I was experiencing. So we sat in the back, because those were kids, you sat in the back, and that was before the little numbering system and all the little technological ways we tell people little Johnny needs you. Back at that day, you sat in the back, and when little Johnny needed you, they came and tapped you on the shoulder. You get the famous tap. And instead of sitting up front or in here in the middle or whatever, and you got to go through, and you got to excuse me, and you everybody's looking at you going out like this and going, no, you sat in the back. And then you got the tap, you went on back there and got him. So we did that for 2 years. Sit in the back, did nothing. But the Bible says your gift to make room for yourself, just like it's doing here with Apollos. And next thing you know, they say, hey, Pastor Tony, I can't teach that new believers class today. Can you cover that for me? Yeah, I got it. Hey, Pastor Tony, I can't, you know, be at that small group at that house. Can you teach that small group for me? Yeah, I got it. Pretty soon my gift made room for myself. Then next thing you know, they asked me to come and be available to pray with people after service. Okay. All right. Gotcha. The next thing you know, my pastor asked me to come on full time. Your gift to make room for yourself. In the kingdom of God, the way to be exalted is to be humbled. It's not through, the world is just the opposite. The way to be exalted, you got to pump yourself, you got to, you know, and you got to promote yourself, you got to get out there and, you know, no, it's not like that in the kingdom. It's through humility. And it's through, you know, letting God exalt you. Because when God exalts you, no one can put you down. Only him. And so here we see his gift made room for him. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now, Aquila and Priscilla stayed behind in Ephesus as Paul went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, according to verse 21. So when they heard this eloquent preacher talk about the things of God, what did they do? Did they stand up and blast him publicly? Hey, you eloquent preacher, that's not quite how it goes. No, they took him aside, possibly to their house, because the church of Ephesus started out in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. And they instructed him in the atoning death of Christ, his burial for 3 days, and his glorious resurrection. Something that Apollos didn't know about. This says a lot about Apollos, that he was, watch this, he was teachable. He was teachable. Yes, he was knowledgeable and very eloquent, but he was humble and teachable. I mean, tremendous qualities and characteristics to have is to be humble and teachable. He didn't allow his knowledge to puff him up with pride, like 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. I always smile. I always smile when our kids, they go off to college for the first time, the first semester, you know, and they come home. You know, for Thanksgiving break. And they've been at the university for some time. They come back talking different. And all of a sudden their head, which used to look straight, now is a little like this now. and they got a semester of psychology under their belt. And they come back, oh, mom and dad. It used to be ma, hey, ma. Now it's mom. Mom and dad. And they come back, and I always smile. And I say, oh, you've been off to school, haven't you? Because knowledge puffs up. But love edifies. And even though this man had great knowledge, very eloquent man, he was humble and teachable. He didn't allow his upbringing, his affluent upbringing in the suburbs of Alexandria to cause him to be unteachable. He allowed for Aquila and Priscilla to take him aside and say, let me just tell you the rest of the story, because John the Baptist came on the scene talking about Jesus that was going to come. Well, let me tell you, he came. And died on the cross and was buried for 3 days and glorious resurrection. And they gave him the rest of the story. And this man was blown away when he got the rest of the story. Look at verses 27 and 28. And when he desired to cross Acadia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Now, Apollos was so excited to have the whole story about Jesus Christ, his death, his burial and resurrection, that he wanted to go to Acadia, and which the capital of Acadia is Corinth. So they wrote a letter to the believers in Corinth to receive this mighty man of God, verse 26 says. He was such a great help to the believers in Corinth that he vigorously refuted the Jews with his mastery of the Old Testament and his skills as a debater. Now, the Greek word for refuted is an intense double compound Greek word. And when you see it up on the screen, I won't even attempt to try to pronounce it. It is a intense compound Greek word, and it means that he totally crushed his opponents, totally disproving them at every point, showing, notice, from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, the end of verse 28 says. How we need more men and women like Apollos that are mighty in the scriptures, fervent in spirit, that definitely can vigorously refute those. I didn't say argue, refute. The Bible says speak the truth in love. Vigorously refute those who come against Christianity. The Bible says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give every man an answer, the reason of the hope that lies within you. The question is, can you do that? With the rise and the popularity of the internet, and you know, a plethora of good is on there and a plethora of incredible evil that is on the internet. And people used to say this, well, you know, there are contradictions in the Bible. Well, where are they? Well, I can't show you, but I know they're in there. Well, now because of the internet, all they got to do is pull it up on their phone. Well, see right here, it says that this and that verse says that and this verse. All right, can you answer them? Can you not only refute them, can you vigorously refute them? This is why we have classes throughout the year to equip you to be mighty in the scriptures, so you can give every man an answer, the reason of the hope that lies within you, and not walk away saying, well, maybe Christianity isn't true. Which is the stuff that kids are going to universities and coming back saying. Because some atheistic liberal professor is saying Christianity is a bunch of junk, and you know, but he's a professor and been a professor for many years. I have a friend, and many of you remember from last summer, I think, Ray Comfort, how on the atheist delusion, how he made those professors in the universities just look straight dumb to the point where they were chasing, get that camera, turn the camera off, turn the camera off, you know, because they look stupid. I mean, anytime, you know, the leading atheist is saying nothing created everything. That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard in my life. How can nothing create everything? And when this famous atheist said this, the crowd laughed. And he was shocked by that. And he said, why are they laughing? And then the Christian who was on the panel debating him said, because of what you just said. That doesn't even make sense. Nothing created everything. Who believes that? It just reminds me of what 2 Peter says, that in the last days, men will be willingly ignorant. They can see the evidence and say, nope. I can see the sky is blue, but nah, it's not really blue. Nah. Willingly ignorant. But we have to be ready. We have to be equipped. And we want to do all we can to equip you to be able to give every man an answer, the reason of the hope that lies within you. Because many of these, our children are going off to the universities and they're atheistic, liberal professors that love every opportunity they can to mock Christianity and the things of God. We got to be able to give answers. So if they call you on the phone or if they come home and say, hey, my professor just said this, what are you going to say, mommy? Daddy, what are you going to say?
Well, you know, maybe we ought to make an appointment with Pastor Tony.
No, I got enough on my plate. Don't be making an appointment with me. I got enough on my plate. No. And you get some answers. And there's some assistant pastors that would love to take time with you. They give you some answers. But it's time for you to dig in, too. Time for you to dig in. And be ready to give every man an answer. That includes your children as well. So what happened next? You got to wait until next time to find out. Let me conclude with this. I asked the question at the very beginning, where is Apollos today? I pray in this room. I pray that there are men and women mighty in the scriptures, men and women being instructed in the way of the Lord at church, fervent in spirit, staying at the boiling point in your walk with the Lord, speaking boldly for Jesus Christ. Even if you only can say I was once blind in my sin, but now I can see because of Jesus Christ. If that's all you know, hey, you share that. But don't, you don't stay there. 10 years later, hey, what you know? All I know, I was blind, but now I see. Hey, it's been 10 years now. What? You, that's all you know? You're blind? I hope you know a little bit more than that by then. You know, I hear this all the time, but it was a great honor to hear it last service. And the guy came up to me afterwards. So I was out there and he said, you know, he said, we've been going to this church for about 10 years. He said, I've learned more in 10 years about the Bible under your teaching than I have in the 40 years prior to us coming here. I hear that all the time. He said, you know, I had no clue about Apollos. He said, I ain't know him. Who's Apollos? He said, but I know now. See, we want to give you the word of God and equip you with the things of God. Jesus said, you're easily deceived by not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. He is saying that the power of God is in knowing the scriptures. And you'll have power to defend it against anyone who will come against it. See, there's a way that they train people to detect counterfeit money. They sit them in a room and let them touch, feel, smell, look at, turn upside down, examine the real. That they would know the real so well that when a counterfeit comes, they detect it just like this. Do you know the real, the teaching, the real about the word of God? That when someone comes up to you with a counterfeit, you detect it like this. What did you say? Because they're all over the place now. And there's a cult, there's a little cult, little church not that far from here. And they all over the place at the mall, Walmart, all kind of stuff. You believe in Jesus Christ? Yeah, I believe in my Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. I said, excuse me? I haven't encountered them yet. So we haven't crossed paths yet. And they get it, you know. From one little verse in Galatians that said, you know, Sarah, who is the mother of us all. And they said, Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. just on the surface, I don't know. I don't care if all you know, I was blind, but now I see. That doesn't sound right. Even you know that doesn't sound right. Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. Ooh. Like we got some secret stuff about God that you don't know. So you must come to our little cult and hear more about the Heavenly Mother. Are you kidding me? But the parking lot is packed out because the little church is not that far from where I live. So all the time I see it, it's just packed out, packed out. People hearing about the Heavenly Mother. Ooh, some mystical teaching about the Heavenly Mother. Are we serious? Are we serious? Can you refute them, dear Christian? Can you give answers? Or would you say, what time y'all meeting so I can hear more about the Heavenly Mother? Oh, I tell you, remain humble, remain teachable, and let us commit to being more like Apollos by spending daily time reading the word, praying, coming to church to be instructed in the ways of God. And if we commit to this, the 757 will never be the same again. I'm thankful that we have people who come from Virginia Beach, Suffolk, Smithfield, Norfolk, Chesapeake. They come from all over the place. Williamsburg, come from all over the place. But if we would commit by the grace of God to be like Apollos, mighty in the scriptures, the 757 would never be the same again. Yes, we're crammed in here, but let me tell you what I see. I see empty seats there. I see empty seats there, up here. I see empty seats there. I see empty seats there. It lets us know there's more room. This whole row is empty right here. There's room for more. We haven't even touched the 757 and what God wants to do. If we become mighty in the scriptures, if we commit ourselves to the things of God, if we just take a moment where we quiet ourselves and took the buds out of our ears, took the beats out, and took the music out, and just spend time in silence with our Bibles open and letting God speak to us. I mean, the 757 would not know what hit them. Oh, you're the talk out there. Matter of fact, you're the talk around this country. Because of social media, you're the talk around this country. And I'm blown away to this day to be able to say what I'm about to say, that people are taking their vacations in Newport News so they can stay over a Sunday so they can come here from around the country. You live right around the corner. You come once every 6 weeks. These folks take their vacation to come so they can sit in here for a Sunday. Let us commit to being more like Apollos. We know more like Jesus. We know that. So don't tell me when I'm walking out, don't you mean more like Jesus? Stop. This is what I'm going to do when you come to me like that. Oh, hey, so-and-so, how you doing? We know being like Jesus. We know that. But Apollos was mighty in the scriptures. And may our co-workers and family members say the same thing about us, that we're mighty in the scriptures. When the mosquitoes come out, may they bite and leave, singing nothing but the blood of Jesus. May that be said about us. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your time that you have spent with us in your word. Dear Lord, thank you for this great man, Apollos, this great man of God. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will move upon him, move upon us, Lord, that we can be mighty in the scriptures. Oh, Lord, thank you for your great love for us. Lord, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for these, your people. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who has not repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today will be the day of salvation for them. I pray that they believe you died on the cross and was buried and rose again. Lord, there's some who need forgiveness. Draw them to you, Lord. Some who need to come back to you. Draw them back to you by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.